He is a man easily corrupted by his passions. A dour, brutally honest man whom no one else cares for. The faithful, however, know why they're here.
You want that real love, you daydreaming. Is it real enough? Imagine this dick in you. A lot of fucking is what we get to do. If you give me that sloppy dome, wherever I'm at, you know I'm coming home. I can't leave it alone. Bust another nut, then I'm gone.
I know that you came to party, baby, 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 baby. Look like we gon' leave this party with somebody else's lady.
Lady.
I know that you came to party, baby, 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 baby,
baby.
Look like we gon' leave this party with somebody else's lady.
Lady.
I know that you came to party, baby, 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 baby,
baby.
Look like we gon' leave this party with somebody else's lady.
Lady.
I know that you came to party, baby, 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 baby,
baby.
Look like we gon' leave this party with somebody else's lady.
Lady.
WFOD. Wheelbarrow full of dicks. Now.
Nobody else there to
what
like.
What happened to the quit your yapping for a second? I just said it. I just said quit your fucking yapping for a second so we can start the show.
I
and
heard
you're
it.
Like, oh, okay. And then you start fucking yapping again.
Yeah, this is.
Just shut the fuck up for a second so I can start the fucking show.
You push a button and the show starts. It's not like you need me to be.
No,
quiet
like- Napier. We stop our conversations so that we can include the audience. And we could say, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program. I'm Mike. I'm joined, of course, via fucking Skype by my co-host, Napier.
I appreciate shows that get you in there, like, mid-sentence, like, where it's obvious that...
Oh, well, if you co-host. Appreciate it, then I guess that's good, right?
And also, via Skype, the albino alligator, Travis Hulse.
See, he won't
Hello.
Shut the fuck up long enough for me to introduce you, Travis. Even when I say it. Even when I say, can you shut the fuck up for a second? Now we can talk. We can do our whole chalk talk thing. Because it's a talk show.
I don't believe I was introduced.
Are you fucking kidding me? Phone number to contact the show, 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. In the chat, Liquid is asking, Napier is phoning it in? Yes, Liquid. Napier is phoning it in. And I'll explain. When we did a week of shows for episode 300, I thought it was unrealistic to expect Napier to show up all 7 days in a week. And so
yeah,
I said to him, Napier, I mean, if you want to Skype in a couple of these days, I get it. We're doing a whole week of shows. That's a lot to ask of you. And since then, we have done 10 weekly shows since the 300 celebration. And in those 10 weeks, Napier has Skyped in 4 times.
Yes.
Well, we did have the conversation about making the 300 week the very end of this show.
And we should have, Travis. We should have just ended it because this bullshit... And let me stress it again. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Napier, I have no interest in doing a Skype podcast with you. I have no interest in doing it.
You realize that's what it's going to come to, right?
No, that's not what it's going to come to.
If
that's
what
it comes
to,
the show is fucking over.
I thought you were getting that podcast bench ready in your basement.
Well, I mean, I could.
What do you mean you could? I thought that was the plan. I thought you were getting that podcast bench ready.
I can literally have it set up in 10 minutes.
Oh, so you're not going
to... You're going to drag a bench from the from the wall to the center of the room, right?
So what you're saying is no frills at the, in this podcast bench. No frills.
Well, no, there's going to be two people there, me and Mike, and I'll just set up like a monitor and a computer underneath the desk. I don't have to get fucking fancy with it. But, Mike, you know I have a kid on the way, right?
Yeah. I mean, do you quit the show? Are you done?
I'm not quitting the show. I'm just, you know, I can't, like, you know, leave for a little while. I can't just, like, you know, mosey the fuck on out.
So you're quitting the show? It sounds like he's quitting the show, right, Travis? He can't come over and do the show, then he's quitting the show, right?
You can mosey out. Yeah, you're going to lose your goddamn mind if you don't mosey out for a couple hours a week.
Travis, Napier works with his wife. He drives to work every day with his wife. He comes home. He eats dinner with his wife. He sits in the same room all day. He sleeps with his wife. He never leaves his wife's side.
I'd blow my brains out.
He never leaves his wife's side. His wife comes over here to watch him do the podcast, and then they drive back home. He never gets a second to himself.
I have every.
That can't be true. He might take longer bathroom breaks.
Do you close the door when you shit, Napier?
Yeah, I do.
I don't. Well, I usually leave the door open.
No, shit smells. I don't want my house to smell like my anus.
I just figure if the shit lofts out, then it's not as like concentrated. You know, it spreads out.
I have a fan in my shitter for a reason, sir. Like, I literally have a fan that's only purpose is to waft my shit away.
Actually, you know, that's for steam from your shower. It's not actually for your shit smell.
Really? I've never used it for that. Is that what it's supposed to be used for?
Your house is rotting from the inside. You gotta turn that on for the shower, man.
Really?
Travis, the strangest thing happened to me last week.
How strange was it?
I was sitting here, minding my own business, and my doorbell rings, and I go, and I answer the door, and it's a friendly-looking, younger, white fellow.
Did he have a white shirt and black pants on?
And a tie?
No, black he was tie. Wearing like a cargo short and a dirty white t-shirt. He looked like he had put in an honest day's work. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the fella says, "Hey man, I work for the Omaha Steak Company."
Oh, I know where you go. I get these people all the time.
And man, let me tell you, I was making a delivery, a couple streets over. And they just gave me too much meat.
Mm-hmm. I know that pitch.
So, I mean, I have an excess of meat here that I can give you at a significantly discounted price if you're interested. Now, this guy did not go door to door. This guy singled my door out. He was in a truck and he stopped in front of my house to come try to sell me steaks, which is unusual.
Appreciated, yes.
And so I told the man I wasn't interested in his weird truck steaks. And then he said, "Hey, man, I don't know if you remember me, but a couple of years back, I think I bled all over your driveway." And I said,
"Okay, my interest has been piqued."
And I said, "What is that, sir?" And he says, have you lived here for a while? And I said, "Yes, I've been here for quite some time, son." And he said, "Do you remember, when somebody, hit your mailbox and we were hurt kind of bad and you brought us out a wet rag so that we could wipe up our blood and stuff?" I said, "I do. Is that you?" And he said, "Yes, it's me." And I said, "Laura, come look, it's the guy who was bleeding on our driveway, and now he's selling steaks." And Laura came and looked at him and said, "Oh, hey, man, glad to see you're doing good."
Well, good is a matter of perspective. He is selling steaks out of the side of a truck.
Hey, it's not crack cocaine. So...
But, I mean, he's one of three people who has hit my mailbox. But, I mean, it was the most memorable of the three, I'd say. And here he was on my doorstep yet again, to bring the story full circle. And
have we not had mailbox hitting conversations? I swear to Christ that we've talked, like, my mailbox has also went down 3 times.
Yeah, but you've been there longer, right?
Yeah, about 15 years.
See, I'm on like a bend. Like, if you look at my street, you probably say, yeah, that's probably the one that gets hit a lot. And it does. So I've built up like a concrete block fortress around it now. Cause, you know, I've accepted that I'm probably gonna lose some mailboxes along the way, but I'm trying to inflict as much damage back as possible. I'm trying to go on the offense. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's pretty good. A lot of townships will not let you do any of that kind of shit because they get pissy about plows. They want it to where if a plow accidentally hits your mailbox, that your mailbox goes down and it doesn't ruin the city's plow truck.
So you were gone last week. There was some controversy. People thought that you were fake drunk like a teenage girl a couple of weeks ago. That you were faking it.
Faking it?
They thought you were faking being drunk.
Travis? You mean on Memorial Day?
Memorial Day is a day to drink some beverages.
Memorial Day and Labor Day are my 2 Mondays where I'm probably not going to be very sober by the time the show starts.
But as the week progressed and people caught the podcast, I was receiving private messages saying, I think Travis was faking it.
Okay.
Were you faking it, Travis?
I don't know that I would have ever felt in my entire life the need to fake being non-sober.
For comedic effect, no?
Comedic effect, no. I mean, but if people would like to believe that, that probably looks better on me.
Fair enough.
Dynamite drop in there, Napes. That was good. I'm glad to see that you're engaged.
I hope the last week when I was off due to wireless card issues with my laptop that there were a lot of jokes made at my expense, like, oh, is he still sleeping? And things like that.
There's absolutely no way to go back and check, Travis.
Well, I mean, yeah, you're probably right. I could probably take a look at this chat in front of me, but it's not that important to me, so I'm not going to do that.
Napier, what is a steam? How do I do a steam? I asked you this in the chat, and your answer was very nonsensical, as is most of your responses.
Hot rocks, and then you just dump water over them.
No, the Friday the 13th, they put out a video game where you can run around and beat Jason and kill camp counselors. And it looks fun, but I don't have a Xbox or a PlayStation, but it says you can do a steam. And I asked Napier how I do a steam, and he told me to buy a completely different game. And that was his answer on what a steam was. He said, Mike, you buy a Overwatch.
Mike, just go.
Oh, you wanted to play Friday the 13th? I got a better suggestion. Don't do that. Buy Overwatch.
Yeah, exactly.
Which doesn't answer what a fucking steam is and how I can play Jason and run around and kill camp counselors. He said, no, buy an Overwatch. But it still doesn't answer my question of how I even do it. How do I do? What do I do?
You go to Steam. You set up an account.
Is that like a storefront?
You go to a storefront.
So you go to Steam.com?
Go to Steam.
Steam.com?
I thought it was a brick and mortar. I thought I had to like get in my car and set up an account at the Steam store.
So I go to the Steam?
You go to the Steam store?
Where is the Steam store, Napier? Where is it?
Right next to the Popeyes.
Do you have Google?
Google Plus? Yeah, it's my favorite social media.
Yep, you go to store.steampowered.com.
Okay, see, that's very specific information. Do I have to download a program?
Yeah, you have to download Steam. I thought you were fucking with me. I didn't know you didn't know what Steam was. I thought it was a bit.
So I download the Steam program. Yeah, see, in the chat, Liquid Lozenge is telling me Steam is from Valve.
Oh, go to Valve.
See, now I feel like Liquid Lozenge is fucking with me.
No, Steam is from Valve. It's the same
Valve.com?
Well, Valve, the game company. I guess you could go to Valve.com.
Do I need special stuff?
Yeah, a computer.
I have a computer.
Do you have a remote control?
Can I mouse around Jason, or do I need to buy a thing?
For most Steam games, mouse and keyboard are going to be fine. On some games, you will want like a Xbox 360 controller just for that, you know, controller feel.
I've seen the gameplay from Friday the 13th when it was in beta stages. I saw developers playing camp counselors trying to escape Jason. It seems to me like you're going to want a controller.
A lot of games are built for controller now just because, you know, it's easier to do that and then port it to Xbox or port it over to PlayStation. And you don't really have to worry about the mouse and keyboard fuckers.
See, but Jason never runs. And so do you really need a controller for that? I feel like I could just hit up on the keyboard and get away from him just fine.
Well, you probably got to scroll through his weapons. There's probably, you probably got like a bunch of like a arsenal that you can choose from, like shoot somebody with a, you know, blowgun or machete them
Jason
or chainsaw
doesn't
them.
Shoot people. He uses his machete or he uses his bare hands.
He's used a blowgun before.
With a tree branch or found objects.
One time he smashed somebody's face into the tree and it made a smiley face on the tree.
Must have missed that one.
Friday the 13th, part 6, Jason Lives.
My favorite part of Jason was when he was like confronted by city thugs and the thugs were like, "Oh, fuck you, dude." And Jason lifted up his hockey mask and like, No, friend, we're good.
That was the same one where he literally just punched a dude's head off, like clean off.
The boxing match with the black guy on top of the
roof. On the rooftop. He just like punched his fucking head clean off.
in one punch.
Did I tell you guys there was like a Friday the 13th script that was floating around a handful of months ago? It was put into production and then kind of got canceled. It was one of the best Friday the 13th stories I've ever read. And when I think about Friday the 13th in my head, like that movie plays in my, I can't remember, was it Nick DaCosta or something like that, who wrote this just amazing Friday the 13th script that never got made. I think you can find it on Reddit. I might have a link, but you should check that out. It's really, really good. Really good. I'm very bummed that they didn't make that movie.
I got the link to the actual game in the chat. See, Liquid is way more helpful than Napier.
What does that game run?
I don't
in know. U.S. dollars.
In U.S. dollars?
Yeah.
I don't know. I wonder.
I'd like to play that as well.
Travis, I wonder if Liquid would just do the show with us.
Well, he's got all the information about Steam.
He does. Do he knows how to Steam. He'll Steam with us.
Do you think he would come to your home?
You're literally 1 year older than me. How do you not know what fucking Steam is?
I'm not a big video game guy. I don't really know how the whole thing works. So it's just a store, and then I guess you download the game, and then the game just runs as a game?
I don't know, man. I like having the physical media to like touch.
I mean, Steam is like iTunes.
iTunes for video games.
It's like iTunes for video games. Let's say your current computer, you buy a bunch of games for it. Your computer goes down. Something gets fucked. Well, you get a new computer. You install Steam on your new computer. You download all your old games. And, you know, there's no goddamn lag.
Because it's on your account.
It's on your account. You just download it. Then you play it.
Yeah, that's what the PlayStation Store told me, too. And then my PlayStation took a shit and I couldn't get all the games that I had on the account.
Can I not buy a DVD-ROM anymore?
You can, for some things, but for other things, no.
It's just on Steam?
A lot of shit on Steam is just on Steam. Oh. I mean, there's a buttload of games where you just, no choice. Either you get it on Steam or go fuck yourself.
I choose the latter.
But there are plenty of games you can just go and buy. You can go to GameStop and get, you know, 90% of games, but I mean, if you want indie games or you want these limited release kind of things, you're going to have to go to Steam. Or, I mean, it could be a special edition thing where you get the Steam edition and then you got to get it that way because it comes with a new skin for your character where he's got like this big horse dick and he's running around with this giant horse cock beating on people and you don't get that.
I did see some video game news pop up this week in my Facebook feed. It said that get ready because the first Super Nintendo game in a couple of decades is finally going to be released. I wasn't interested enough to actually click the link and find out what that was, but if you're into Super Nintendo, apparently there's a new game coming out.
Yeah, I heard about that. Isn't that awesome?
It is kind of awesome.
Travis, do you interpret dreams at all?
I used to, when I would remember them and like try to be introspective and figure out what's going on in my head.
My mom has a dream book.
She writes her dreams in?
No, like they tell you what they mean.
Oh, I think I got one of those too.
It tells you what your dreams mean. I had a weird dream last night where me and Drunk were Skyping a couple of presidents, and I forgot to record both of them. And I was stressing out because I wasn't recording our Skype conversations with old we talked to George H.W. Bush and Bill Clinton, and I forgot to record them.
Are you going to try to unpack that here on the show?
No, I'm just telling you it happened. And it was me and Drunk, and we were in my parents' basement.
At least I wasn't involved.
Yeah, you weren't there, which is weird. It was me and
Drunk. Was there a podcast bench?
No, it was my parents' old computer desk.
And like a computer from like 1992?
Yeah, and I had questions written down for George H.W. Bush. And I think it's his birthday today, Travis, if we wanted to give him
a... Oh, happy birthday. Big birthday shout out to George Bush Sr.
Yeah.
Are we going to talk about Adam West?
Do you want to?
I feel sad. Adam West was fun. And he was like, you know, doing his thing with the Family Guy. And now there's no more Adam West.
What do you...
All right.
He's 88.
Yeah, he was 88. I mean, I'm not, you know, discounting that. Just, you know, yeah. It was still sad.
It's a really cool documentary, I think, popped up last year, the year before. It was like I Am Adam West or something similar to that. That was actually really good.
Why is all the documentaries called I Am the guy's name now? Like, I am Heath Ledger, I am Robin Williams, I am Adam West.
Is there a Heath Ledger doc?
There's a Heath Ledger doc now, yeah. There's,
oh, I gotta see that.
I am everybody now. That's the one to call it now.
I can't wait for the I am T-Pain. That's going to be really nice.
Excellent.
I am Lil Boozy.
I was Lil Romeo.
What is he now?
I think he's just Romeo.
Can there be an I am Will I am?
I do like that title.
Do you think that he came to my door on purpose to like force some kind of interaction? Like he remembered my house and he thought that maybe since he had that in, he could use that.
Yes.
To sell some steaks.
The last time somebody came to my door to sell steaks off the side of their trucks, it was in the dead of winter. And this has happened plenty of times, and I get the pitch. It's like, oh, hey, we were just out on a route, and we just have too much meat. We actually have shrimp and steak and some real choice cuts if you'd like to purchase that. And I tell them, no, I do not want that. My
choice cuts.
My in-laws usually get like a half a cow, half a pig every year, and then we like inherit all of the meat that they don't eat, which is most of it. But the last guy that showed up, he knocked on my door. And when I opened my door, he was shoveling my steps with the shovel that I had on the right outside my door. And I
wanted that sale.
And I looked at him, and he's got this stupid salesman smile on his face. He's like, oh, I just thought I'd take care of these steps for you. Hey, by the way, I was just out on the route. We were selling these steaks, and I got a bunch left over, and I think I could get you a really good deal on these.
So
these
is this are a thing that commonly happens? So, like, I'm not describing something that's, like, an anomaly?
I've had steak people show up at my door probably a half dozen to a dozen times in the last 10 years.
You know what I've never had come to my door? A steam Jehovah's? Salesman.
Mm.
Nobody's ever came selling me some steam. I'm just supposed to know what it means. I'm just supposed to know what a steam is, and people are making fun of me in the chat room saying it's like explaining to a grandma the internet. I don't know what a steam is.
Grandmas know what the internet is. You have to go online to get your social security now.
Like you're under 40.
They just typically go to the library to use it.
I'm under 40, sure. I had a Super Nintendo. Just not a regular video game guy. I don't know what a Steam is. I wanted you to explain it to me because you're my in-the-know pal. Hell, you're probably playing a Steam right now.
Yeah, I got Steam. I thought you were messing with me. I didn't think you were, like, serious.
You can assume, Napier, that I'm a straight shooter, and I'm rarely messing with you.
No, you're not. You are rarely not messing with me.
You know, the expansion draft is this Friday.
Oh, fuck, yes, that's right. Yes, fuck, yes.
The expansion draft isn't this Friday, but they're going to reveal who is available for the expansion draft. And I think the actual draft is like 4 days later.
What are you referring to?
Travis, there's a new hockey team that's going to start playing next season. They are from the Vegas Golden Knights.
Ooh, the Vegas. Now they got a couple of professional teams. Good for them.
And so every NHL team is able to keep 7 forwards, 3 defensemen, and 1 goalie. And then everyone else is available. And the Las Vegas Knights get to go through and select 1 player from every team to populate their team.
How is that even a thing that should exist? So you're saying just because they add a new franchise to the league, everybody has to have their players up for grabs? That's some bullshit.
It's
That's
awesome.
Bullshit.
You know, you get to keep 11 guys. You keep 7 forwards.
How many guys are typically on
and 1 goalie? And you only lose 1 guy.
So there's only 12 guys on the roster?
No, there's only 12 guys that you can keep.
Right. So how many guys are typically on a roster?
Lots.
So everybody's up for grabs except those 12
except
guys.
Except like they're 11 best guys.
Yeah, except for your best players and your first best goalie.
That's some bullshit.
So this is really an exciting thing, Travis. I think this is my favorite thing because I like to see the lists and speculate who I would take if I were the Las Vegas Golden Knights.
Please, God, Jesus, take Laterra. I don't care. I don't care what it takes. I don't care what you have to give them. Just get that goddamn fucking loose weight off of our team.
Feel like I want to do like a special show on Friday to talk about the draft just because it excites me so much. I don't think it would be an official Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks event.
I'd do it with you.
You'd Skype in?
Yeah, I'd Skype in.
Oh, boy. You could Skype in for that since it's not a real show. I'd be okay with that, I guess. But if anybody else is interested, it might be fun just to go down the lists. I don't even know who would do it. Maybe just me and you. Maybe just for fun.
Marc-Andre Fleury said he'd waive his no-trade clause for the expansion draft.
Right.
So yeah, I'm betting Las Vegas gets themselves a good-ass fucking goalie.
So you think Friday we should do like a special hockey show, Napier?
Oh, God, yeah.
Talk about who should they take?
Well, they got to take Fleury. I mean, the dude has 2 cups. He doesn't give a shit anymore. Really, at this point, he's just doing it for money. I mean, what do you get after 2 championships? What do you care? What do you give a fuck?
I don't know. Maybe this is something we should talk about on our special Friday show.
Exactly. Travis, what do you think? After you win 2 championships, do you give a shit anymore?
I don't know. I zoned out as soon as you guys started getting real in-depth in this thing.
It's an interesting thing, Travis.
No, the draft seems completely ridiculous. That blows my mind
It's
okay.
It's like the Hunger Games.
Right. It blows my mind that the owners of all of these teams agreed to this weird draft thing.
Well, what do they do in other sports?
If they gave someone a no-trade clause, they have to keep that person.
Unless they get that person to waive it. Like if the person says, I don't care about the no-trade clause, whatever, they can waive it for this one situation.
And this will be the first professional sports franchise in Las Vegas. The Sin City, they call it. I don't know if you know that.
What about the football team?
They're not there yet.
It's not official.
Oh. But they're going, right? They are going there.
They are going.
They're not there, though. So this is still the first one. The Las Vegas Golden Knights, Napier.
God, that sounds like they're, like, getting pissed on or something, or, like, they do the pissing.
I assume that the Golden Nugget is, whoever owns that is probably the one who bought this into this expansion.
Well, they were told that they couldn't do anything that could be remotely linked to gambling because they don't want that stigma.
They don't want the stigma of gambling. They don't want the stigma of gambling in professional sports.
So they couldn't be like the Aces or the Jokers.
Or FanDuel presents an NHL team.
They couldn't be the Las Vegas Tumbling Dice. Guys, I'm going to take a break. We'll be back in just a minute. Thanks for hanging out. God bless you. Jesus is the one true God.
Go with Christ.
Amen.
Strange Labels. We like all the same pop culture bullshit that you like.
Here is Mike with a quick update on the WFOD Hollywood Fantasy League.
Wonder Woman shocked the HFL this week with a staggering $205 million paired with a respectable 76% Metacritic. Not Safe for Water Coolers tallies 156 points for this Go-Go Godot starring film, which isn't even their first-round pick. Cars 3 could theoretically shit the bed and be a Pixar flop and still probably score enough points to make them the winner. And they still have Transformers! How did we let this happen? Podcheese had a solid performer in Captain Underpants, getting 31 points from its $45 million haul, and its 69% Metacritic. Oh yeah, and The Mummy absolutely tanked in the United States, but is Tom Cruise's biggest opening ever worldwide. Apparently, South Koreans fucking love mummies. Cars 3 and the Tupac movie opened this weekend. We'll have an idea where they're headed next week.
Well, we just got the election results in, and it looks like she's done it again. The Queen of England has won the election. She is still going to be the Queen. The Queen of England is the President of England, and she won the election. The people in England are all dog people. They're all covered in dirt and don't have any teeth. And they wear, in America, we have these bags that we would like put potatoes in. And in England, that's their clothes. They just wear bags, and the bags are hyped up to their necks. And all they eat is, like, big turkey legs. And they just, like, eat the turkey leg, and they just get grease and shit all over them. But they don't even notice because they're slobs. And they're all like, boy, 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 leg, leg, blog, blue. And that's how they talk. And they all work in factories. And they have kids, and their kids work in factories. And sometimes the kid will get thrown into a furnace, but nobody notices because they don't name their kids. The kids don't have names. You have to wait till you're like 30, and then you're named like John of Worcester or something. The Queen gives you the name. Anyway, the Queen won the election because all the dog people of England voted for her, and she's the president of England.
Here is another financial tip from Drunk.
Try to spend less money than you make.
Hey, what's up? This is Gwen Stefani, and you are listening to
WFOD.
I've been feeling it since 1966, man.
you guys ever just create parody lyrics to songs on the radio? Like, I make the songs on the radio like unnecessarily extra gay.
I always typically twist them into just vulgarity in some fashion.
Like, isn't that great, though?
This song is, ooh, I've been sucking on some dicks, yeah. I've been fucking dudes since 1996, yeah. They're not beautiful in my butt, but I feel them still. I come up with gay lyrics to songs all the time, and I don't know why I do it. And you know what else I do? I Peter Frampton songs with my phone. I play songs on my phone, on my speakerphone, and I like go, wow, wow. Like I put the speaker in my mouth and make the Peter Frampton sound with it.
I thought you just held it above your head like John Cusack and Say Anything.
That's Peter Gabriel, Travis. I'm talking about Peter Frampton.
Frampton nah, comes Peter alive. Gabriel, Peter Frampton, they're all the same.
They're not the same, Travis. Peter Gabriel, Peter Frampton are two different men.
Whereas I think there was a monkey named Peter. Same deal.
There was not a monkey. There's never been a monkey named Peter. In the history of monkeys, there's never been one named Peter.
The monkeys? Are you kidding me? There's a Peter in the monkeys.
Is there a...
Oh, who was Dirty Harry's monkey?
Dirty Harry? Clint Eastwood's monkey movie. Well, you're talking about
Any Which Way But Loose.
Was Loose the monkey's name?
Yeah, Loose. He was Any Which Way.
What's the monkey's name, Travis?
Any Which Way, and then Clint Eastwood's name was Loose.
So it's a buddy film.
Peter Tork of the monkeys. I should have known that.
Yeah, but I thought you were talking about like a monkey.
Oh, I would imagine it's some time in history there's been a monkey named Peter.
See, me and Drunk, we were in my parents' basement, and we were interviewing the presidents. We had them lined up. It was a special president week.
I find it hard to believe that you were able to get H.W. and old Billy Clint's for the same president's week thing.
It was a difficult booking.
That's professional.
It was a difficult booking, but we got it done.
Made it happen. You're the guy that makes shit happen. Really,
that we got that done back to back on the same day.
I would totally rather talk to George Bush Jr. because I feel like he'd be way more entertaining.
See, that's why he won the election, because he was somebody that you could have a beer with.
Yeah, yep. Much like our current president. Somebody who you'd really want to have a beer with.
Travis, I've been listening to an audio book at work. I've been listening to the new one by Michael Crichton, called Dragon Teeth.
How was it? Didn't he die?
Yes, Travis, he did. He died in 2008.
How is there a new one by Michael Crichton?
That's a good question. He's the Tupac of literature. This is his third posthumous release.
That just goes to confirm my beliefs that all of these people who are churning out these books every year, not Stephen King, I feel like he's the exception, but all of these other people, these James Pattersons and shit, they're not actually writing the books. They're writing an outline and they're handing it off to somebody and saying, hey, here's an idea, write this book and I'll take all the credit for it.
As much shit as Stephen King puts out, Stephen King puts out like a book or two a year. He works pretty fast. Can you imagine how many posthumous releases he'll have?
Oh, he said that I can't recall what he exactly said that he writes per year, but a lot of them don't get released. He just keeps them in a box. And then when it's time for a new book to come out, he'll pull one out or he'll like release the current one that he's working on. But I bet you he's like the prince of the literary arts, where
he pulls one out of a box and goes,
yeah, this is good enough. He's gonna die, and there's like the Paisley Park of Stephen King and like novels. So you're just gonna have like hundreds of thousands of unreleased works by Stephen King are just going to be in somebody's hands.
But I mean, there's a pretty good likelihood that Michael Crichton didn't write this book. But it seems kind of in the style of Michael Crichton. It's a decent read thus far. And I think that there's probably a good chance that somebody could just be a student of a specific author, and then upon their death, they can just become them and start writing in their name as though they kept going. I mean, like, they're still putting out Bourne books. Even the guy who wrote the Bourne books died. And
I was going to say, that was the example I was going to have. And they put that dude's name really, really big on the book. And then they put the guy who actually wrote it really, really small underneath his name.
And that Stieg Larsson, the guy who wrote the girl with the dragon tattoo and the girl with the hornet nest
and her pussy.
The girl that swam to New Jersey and the girl who ate a hornet taco and
girl who left her sandwich on the bus.
The girl that skateboarded really fast.
The girl who called IT and they didn't actually help, so she had to go buy a new computer anyway.
The girl who decided to freeze a whole bunch of bananas and then realized that they'll still probably go bad eventually.
The girl who dropped her iPhone 6 into the toilet and she thought she could put it in a bag of rice and dry it out.
All those, they're mysteries.
But, right, yeah, really
there's
good.
There's like a new guy that's just writing them now. And it's fine. So I like what's keeping us from just writing new Stephen King books after Stephen King dies? And
I feel like even though he's not dead, we should just start writing Goosebumps books for R.L. Stein.
Just study the style of R.L. Stein.
Right, or just watch the Jack Black movie about R.L. Stein.
And just like study his mannerisms and say, this seems like something that Jack Black R.L. Stein would do.
The haunted car in the haunted forest. It's like
Liquid
a crossover.
Says that there's a guy who's writing Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy books. Oh, no, that's not Liquid. That's Anchor.
When does it cross over from fan fiction into something that a publishing house will actually put out?
I guess you have to get the blessing of the family or something, which you probably just want to cash checks. So it shouldn't be hard to do.
Yeah, well, they want their money more than anything else.
That's actually not, I mean, after The Cat in the Hat came out with Mike Myers, the big budget motion picture adaption of the beloved Dr. Seuss story, that family said there will never be another live action adaption of a Dr. Seuss story ever again because it was so bad.
But they're putting out tons of Dr. Seuss books that Dr. Seuss didn't write. Dr. Seuss books are coming out today, Travis. So they're making Dr. Seuss books.
They've been doing that for years, though, because like Go, Dog, Go was under the imprint of Dr. Seuss, but it was not written by Dr. Seuss. There are tons of those. Like Are You My Mother was not written by Dr. Seuss, but it's widely regarded as a Dr. Seuss book.
See, I think it's like you study the Dr. Seuss style and you can continue it forever.
If you can make it rhyme, it will fit in the Dr. Seuss imprint. It's like much like Little Golden Books. Dr. Seuss is like a imprint.
All people when they hit a certain level of notoriety need to have like an understudy to make sure that their name can continue on.
I have three understudies, and I hope they carry on my name forever.
Napier, do you have an understudy that we can start doing the podcast with?
Not unless you find somebody with some really bad fucking head trauma.
You have head trauma?
I wore cheap helmets as a kid. Yeah.
So you think that's part of your essence? Is your brain trauma?
40% of it at least. Yeah. Gonna have to find a dude who played a lot of hockey as a kid.
Were you not a goof before?
Not really, no.
I mean, you're kind of a goof.
Yeah, I'm kind of a goof now, but that's after, you know, getting hit in the head a lot, wearing really cheap helmets that didn't do anything. I pretty much didn't wear a helmet playing hockey until I was 16. And it kind of, you know, not a good way to live.
You know, I used to wear a lotto jacket as my chest protector. And it didn't do much to protect me.
Did you have a real hockey puck or one of those stupid little fucking
street hockey pucks?
Oh, well, it doesn't matter.
And I wrapped a sock around my wiener.
Do you remember a bunch of people from the old high school days?
Did they wrap socks around their wieners?
A couple of them did. If they would forget their cup, they'd wrap a sock around their dick, and that would be their cup.
See, what I would think is if like I tied a sock around my wiener and like tied it, then it would create like a ball that would also kind of protect my nuts.
Wait, your penis is bigger than your nutsack?
No, but the sock, when tied, created like a whole fortress of nut and dick protection.
Oh, no, mine wouldn't. Mine, like, I have way too much nuts for that. Like, I'm like 90% nuts.
Not so when I was a little kid, though. I mean, now my nuts hang considerably lower than they did when I was a young man. When I was a young man, it was all tight like a toyga.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like high school, like
no. This was when I was a boy playing hockey in the streets,
the mean streets of St. Louis.
The mean streets playing in the streets.
When a car came,
we had to move the net, and I had a baseball glove, and my mom made me a blocker out of an old boat seat. Tied to a winter glove that looked like a Pizza Hut delivery bag.
Did it work?
Yeah, it was huge. Looked like I was delivering a pizza.
Yeah, but you were delivering show-stopping goal blocking shit.
And I bought a wooden stick from a guy that had a blade about 2 inches thick that I had duct taped, and when people swiped at my glove when I covered the puck, I would whack them with my stick, because that was in the streets where you could get away with such things. There were no rules, Napier. There was no whistles. It was just us and our wits.
Did you give him some fucking shin music? Just hit him right in the shin and let him play that song of, oh God, it's, oh God, my leg, oh fuck.
Travis!
Sing that song.
Did you review the tweets that I was telling you about by that Peter Cimetti fella?
I did, yeah, I glanced at them, absolutely.
I was very interested in what he was saying. It was an interesting topic. Well, we asked him if he wanted to come on and talk to us about it, and he politely, very diplomatically, told us to go fuck ourselves.
But he is, if you look at his feed, he is overwhelmingly positive. Like, I'm actually very surprised that he even tweeted that about what he tweeted about.
Seems like everything I've ever seen. Well, what he's an independent comic book publisher. What's the name of his imprint, Travis? It's
Alterna Comics.
Alterna Comics, and they do it on newsprint, which is...
Yeah, he just recently launched a bunch of number ones on newsprint for, like, I think it was, like, first issues were, like, a buck.
Yeah, he's trying to do something, trying to find a niche, trying to get out there, trying to do a thing. You know, to pique the interest of potential readers and whatnot.
And, comic books are so hot right now.
And he was tweeting because there was a comic book store that pretty much told him that, like, we're only going to buy your issue number one, and then you're on your own for the rest of the series. Which I thought was crazy, because, I mean, if you sell one, I mean, don't you have, like, an obligation to your patrons that come in and buy that number one, that they can then come in a month later and get the next one, and the next one, and the next one?
I see both points, because, like, we had talked about privately, I think, is, like, what Cimetti's point is, like, you're not able – if you do not stock those comics – on your shelves for browsers, which there are people that go into a comic shop and just kind of glance around and see what looks interesting, especially if kids are still into it. I know when I was a kid, like, I'd go into a comic shop and I wouldn't necessarily have a pull list, and I'd look around and I'd be like, oh, that looks cool. That I like that cover. I like that one. That one sounds good. So if you do not stock those on your shelves, you're not going to get those casual readers who want to check something out.
Right, but right. And I mean, especially for a buck.
Right.
You know? Why not take a chance on it? Try something new. If it's something that they're into, it's something that they keep coming back for, and then every time they come into your store to buy something specific, they might grab two other things. And it seems right. like a pretty, small investment to try it out.
Valiant Comics did that when they were Valiant Comics was huge in the comic bubble of the 90s, and they put out some pretty decent titles, and they came back, you know, fairly recently, within the last handful of years, and their stuff is really good. It's really good, and they did something where it was like a $1 tryout, so they like reprinted the first issue for a buck just to get people to give it a shot, you know, to check out the art, check out the story, and I think it worked pretty successfully for them. And I think you're right. I think if you offer something for a dollar, especially if the publisher is taking kind of a hit just to get people to look at their product, I mean, that's great. But the problem is for a comic shop, and I see the comic shop's point too, is they live and die on their pull lists. Like, they can't stock hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of comic books with their fingers crossed, hoping that people buy them, because essentially comic books are like a used car. Like, you buy a brand new on the lot, and as soon as you pull it off the lot, it's worth nothing. Right. So if you give a comic book, you know, if they stock their shelves with these comic books and nobody buys them, they have to go into like the 50-cent bins. So they're going to take a loss on them just to try to get them the hell out of their stores.
But I mean,
so
like, does a new issue come out on like a Tuesday? Is it new issue Tuesday or something?
Comic book Wednesday. New comic books is Wednesdays now. It used to be Tuesdays back in our day, but Wednesdays has been the last, you know, 15 plus years.
But I imagine that there's probably a group of people that make that a point to come into that comic book shop every Wednesday to see what the new ones are, what the new things right. on the shelf are. Is there enough to populate a new issue's shelf every Wednesday when all you're buying is number ones? Is there enough number ones coming out? Oh, I mean, I guess, you know, like the Spider-Mans and the Batmans and stuff, they're going to be on there regardless.
Well, Marvel reboots like a motherfucker. Like, Marvel is rebooting like every 6 to 8 months. So, you know, prior to like the year 2000, I think there was two amazing Spider-Man ones. And since then there have been like four more, because Marvel figures that just the same thing as these comic shops is that people will buy number ones. They'll just buy them up. They'll say they'll check it out. They'll buy up number ones. So Marvel reboots all every so often to get people to buy these number ones and like drive up their print numbers. So then it makes a bunch of money for the company, but it doesn't make a bunch of money for comic shops who are consistently having to stock these titles, and people get frustrated because they're constantly rebooting them. But I mean, I think nowadays with the internet, like, comic shops kind of just figure that, hey, if you're into comics, like, if you know, you know what you're looking for. So every comic shop that I've ever heard of offers a pull list. So if you want comics, all you do is tell them before it releases, hey, hold me a copy of this, put it in my bag, and then I'll come and pick it up with my regular comics. The only thing that you're killing with that, like I said, is like window shoppers. So they have every year they have like you're familiar with Free Comic Book Day?
Yeah.
So like in early May, all the publishers put out a bunch of free comics to entice people into trying their product. It's not free to comic shops. Comic shops actually have to pay. I don't even know what it is per comic, but they actually have to pay for these comics. But it drives people into the stores and maybe gets them to check out some other stuff. And like you said, buy one or two other things. But they can't consistently do that and hope to turn a profit, because most comic book stores, I mean, they're all just about all comic book stores are small businesses. They're guys that, you know, that run a comic book store and are just trying to make a living doing that. There's only a handful of them that are like corporate comic book stores, then they don't give a shit. They'll stock whatever because they can blow it out at a cheap price later. But I mean, I see both sides of it. I see from a comic book reader standpoint, it hurts because you're not enticing people with these new titles. You're not getting them to expand their horizons. They're just buying the Batmans and the Spider-Mans over and over and over again.
Well, and the point that he made was that I think Batman debuted in like Detective Comics like 26 or something. And
yeah, 27. You know,
in this climate, so that could never even happen.
Right. And Spider-Man was Amazing Fantasy 15, so there was like 14 issues beforehand. But you got to remember too, though, those titles were not they didn't have like a main antagonist in the first place. It was kind of like anthology series, and then they just happened to pop out, you know, and then take off. So unless all of his titles are anthology series where they're telling different stories with different characters every issue, I guess that the comparison doesn't really track.
I suggested that he just make issues like 1.1, 1.2, 1.3,
1.4. That's something that Marvel also does.
My problem is it's the anthologies. It's like the where you have to go through different goddamn titles to get a story. You can't just get the Avengers anymore. You have to get the Avengers, then you have to get Spider-Man because part of the story is in Spider-Man 29, and then you have to get Logan or Wolverine number 35 to get
Napier
that part.
Napier wants
of the
a Netflix binge. You want to binge the whole story. You don't want to wait.
Well, you can do that. You can do that, and I get your point. It's those mini crossovers, which they don't give you many. They don't give you much heads up on those mini crossovers, where it's like I'm reading Spider-Gwen, and all of a sudden I see, oh, continued in Miles Morales Spider-Man. I'm like, I don't fucking read Miles Morales Spider-Man. What the hell do I want that for? And then I go to the comic shop to get Miles Morales Spider-Man. Like, oh no, we sold out because we don't sell very many of those. It's like, well, those bastards, the fuck am I supposed to do to get the rest of the story? You gotta, essentially what you have though is you're creating an industry for like they call them like trade waiters. So like trade paperbacks where they collect all of these issues to like make a complete story.
Right.
So you get a bunch of people who don't buy new comic books. They just wait for the trade paperback to come out to read it.
And but you what, buy the it on Amazon.
Right. And the problem with trade paperbacks, though, is it's great if you want a complete story, but it's not great for the title, because if the title is not selling a certain amount of a print run every single month, that publisher is going to cancel that title. So you might love that 1-2 trade paperbacks, but because you didn't buy it every month, there's not going to be a third trade paperback because there was no support and they canceled the title.
And they do that way too damn often, and they are quick to pull that fucking trigger too.
Oh, they certainly are.
My gripe with the comic book places is every time I go into one, they're all playing tabletop games and they look at me like, why are you here? They're a bunch of snobs at those comic book shops.
It's always been like that.
They're not a welcoming bunch, Travis.
No, they really aren't. I go in there.
It depends on the shop, though. It depends, like, what kind of shop you're going into.
Yeah.
You have to look for a shop that actually caters to new people instead of one of those kind of fucking places.
I think that's called the internet, Napier.
Yeah.
It is the internet. It's the internet in real life, and those people are just fucking shitty.
They turn their nose up at me like Napier turned his nose up at me when I didn't know what a steam was.
I thought you were fucking with me.
You don't know what a steam is? I'm just going to Skype in this week.
It's like going into an arcade and not knowing what fucking quarters are.
I don't think that's a good example at all.
I think it's a great example. I thought you were screwing with me. If you went into an arcade and say, hey, where do I find all these fucking quarters people are playing with? People are going to look at you like, how new are you here, friend?
Very new. Help me.
I didn't understand, and I apologize. I apologize, and I'm sorry for not taking your questions more enthusiastically, but I thought it was a joke. Like you were saying it like, what is the steam? And I thought, like, what do you mean, what is the steam? Are you screwing with me? Do you not know what steam is?
So, sure. Travis, do we just keep the name or do we just reboot? Just start the whole... The reason that I wouldn't want to reboot is Keith David.
No, you can't
to lose Keith David's.
You can't do new things. If you do new things, people aren't going to know what it is. They're going to see it on the shelf, and they're going to be like, I don't know what the fuck this is, but I do know what X-Men is, and there's like 40 of those fucking goddamn things going on.
But I don't you think that the name is probably more trouble than it's worth?
Yes.
The name is everything. The name is brand recognition.
Is the name really done us any favors, though?
The name is more important than anything else.
It scared off a lot of people.
The couple hundred people that download the show every week. Like, do you think that they won't know where to go? Do you think that's the problem?
No, they won't. They're not going to give a shit. They're going to leave. They're going to go to something else. If you take the name and you change the name, you start from zero.
Maybe that's... best.
I mean, we could still just like bring our archive. Or do you think that our archive is part of the problem too, Travis? Because like a casual observer will do their window shopping. They'll go into the podcast shop and they'll say, oh my God, this show has 310 episodes. That's way too intimidating. I can't
start. How am I ever going to catch up?
Right. I'll listen to 310. I don't know what they'll be talking about.
Right. I'm supposed to know the mythology of Napier. Like, how am I going to jump into this? I don't know these characters.
Right.
That's for Mike to put out. Mike, you need to put out an anthology of Mike, an anthology of Napier, an anthology of Travis.
Well, why would I do an anthology of you explaining who you are? You won't be there anymore.
Why won't I be there?
Oh, come on, Napier. You're on the way out. You know it. We all know it.
I didn't say I was on the way out. I don't intend to be.
This is your farewell ride.
I don't. Is this Napier's swan song?
It's a fucking shitty song.
Shane!
Take your tits out and walk down the city square, Napier.
I swear to God, on my last episode I plan to do, if I get the chance to do it, I intend to print out Monty Python's The Holy Grail, and I am just going to read lines off of it to whatever Mike says to me. I'll try to make it make sense, but it's just going to be that.
God damn it. You should have just did that anyway.
Don't you think it's weird that Napier would wait 310 episodes to start trying to make sense?
It just hurts my feelings that you haven't just done that. Like, you should have just done that. That would have been great.
It's like lyric pranking only with Monty Python.
Travis, I know that you're not much on the social media anymore, but did you see the thing about the Babadook?
Didn't they say something like he's like a gay icon now?
Yeah, the Babadook is gay, they say.
How?
I don't know. I thought he was just like a monster that attacked kids.
Came out of a children. Yeah, he came out of a children's book. He, like, ran a circus or some shit. How did anybody read into his sexuality? I would have figured he was asexual and just liked to eat kids.
Well, did you remember the thing a while back where they were asking if Luke Skywalker was gay?
Luke Skywalker's not gay. He like, had kids with, like, Mara Jade.
And the fella that plays Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill, he said, well, I mean, he's gay if that makes you happy, sure, he's gay. Who cares?
Yeah, he doesn't give a shit. Nobody gives a shit.
I mean, like,
yeah.
If you're a gay and you go to the movie and, like, it makes you feel good watching the movie to think that Luke Skywalker's a gay, then good.
Right.
I mean, it's like the people that live in Alabama think Sweet Home Alabama's about how great Alabama is. But, I mean, if it makes you happy, who gives a shit? I'm just happy you bought a ticket.
That's just like when Force Awakens came out and everybody thought, oh, God, there's some sexuality between Poe Dameron and Finn. No, there wasn't. They're buddies. But
if you read that into it, it makes you happy. Good.
Good. Good for you.
If Babadook is a gay and like you watch that as a gay and say, dude, it's so great that we have a gay monster that eats children.
Yeah.
Finally, we have our own. We've waited this long.
Finally, a gay murderer.
Wasn't there a gay murderer in the,
No.
Not Silence of the Lambs, the one before that one.
Well, he might be gay.
Manhunter?
If he is, cool. Who cares?
Bullshit.
Manhunter before Silence of the Lambs.
Wasn't that dude gay?
Are you talking about the prequel? Yeah,
Pigs ate his face.
Yeah, I don't think that he ever, like, fucked a gal. James Bond, we're pretty sure, is not gay.
Right, he's constantly banging gals in all of his movies.
He fucks gals all the time, Travis. James Bond, he's a heterosexual. But I mean, like, I've never seen Falcon in the Avengers movies, never seen him fuck a gal.
So he could be gay.
Like, if you go into that and you say, you know what? Pretty excited that the Falcon's a gay.
You know the problem that I have is when they take a character who has legitimately been laid out as a heterosexual because he's had girlfriends and has made out with gals and is whatever, and then they just say he's gay. That I have a problem with. Like Iceman. Like Iceman is gay now.
Did they make Iceman a gay?
Iceman's been gay for like 2 years. And he's been in love with Rogue and Kitty Pryde at different parts of his history. Yeah, but now he's confused. Yeah.
You remember when Todd Glass was on the show and he was talking about how he wishes that he had like a wife that had incurable cancer and died really young so that he could always use the excuse, I never got over Karen.
Yeah, yep.
Maybe that's what Iceman, because, I mean, Rogue is unattainable.
He's just constantly waiting for Rogue to die off.
Rogue is like, the perfect person to be in a relationship if you're a gay.
Every time she's at death's door and somebody saves her, he's so pissed off. He's like, God damn it. So close.
And the creator of Iceman, when they told him, hey, did you know Iceman was a gay now? He's like, wait, when the fuck did this shit happen?
The Babadook is probably never going to fuck a gal in a movie. Why would he? That has nothing to do with his character. So sure, he can be gay. Fine. Cool.
That's nice. Yeah, like you're right. If you never see a character have sex with anybody, assign whatever sexuality you want to assign to them in your head. But don't try to make it canon. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't try to make it official.
Why not?
Live in your world.
Well, I guess like the creator of the Babadook doesn't need to come out and say, "Oh yeah, he's definitively gay." He could just say, "Yeah, that makes you happy. Cool."
Like J.K. Rowling, didn't like J.K. Rowling do that with their weird wizard? What is his name? Bumbledorf. Yeah, but like, yeah. Then, like people said, "Oh, he's probably gay," and then she said after like the last book was written, like a year later, because she needed more publicity, she's like, "Yep, he's a gay."
There was a time
you didn't see it. You didn't see it once, but yep, he's gay. Yep.
There was a time where a gal broke up with me, and I was just devastated. And I drove around in my car listening to A Stone's Throw Away by Candlebox over and over and over again. And it would end, and I'd just start it over again, and I would sing along with it, even though I didn't know the words to it. And that song doesn't have anything to do with breakups. And I don't, but that was the song that I listened to. And it was the one that, like, you know, was the one that I interpreted to be like the breakup song for me. And I'm sure that, like, when they wrote it, had nothing to do with breakups, and they wouldn't even know what the fuck I was talking about.
No, it's what you assigned to it.
They're probably just fine that I went out and bought the CD, and that I listened to it a lot. Probably makes them feel good.
Yep.
My problem is a lot of the whole Marvel comics and some of the DC ones, they're turning regular straight characters into either gay characters, women characters, minority characters, when that wasn't a thing. Like, why not just make a new character and have that character be gay? Why is Thor a woman now?
This is a gross, slippery slope that I see on all of my comic book Facebook pages and Twitter pages that I am not interested in getting into.
My whole thing is, why don't you just make a new character? Why is Thor a lady? Thor isn't a lady.
Dude, this is what we get into. because at one point, Thor was a fucking frog. So, yeah, Thor can be a lady. Thor was a fucking horse called Beta Ray Bill years ago. It's
no, he
okay.
Was, he was a
Beta
horse? Beta Ray Bill is his own character.
It's
Beta
a, Ray no, Bill. He was Thor. So he was a Thor. Frog.
Beta was, Ray Bill was never Thor. Beta
oh
Ray
God.
Bill is Beta Ray Bill. There's no, Thor, and then there's Beta Ray
is
Bill.
Is whoever holds the hammer Thor?
Yes. Whoever holds the hammer is Thor, even if Thor gets it back. Just like Captain America at one point wasn't Captain America, he was Nomad, and somebody else was Captain America.
Travis, just like it is now. If Thor, if somebody else holds the hammer and Thor's
Thor.
Still around, who is Thor? Is Thor still Thor?
He's a version of Thor, but like Thor, the power of Thor is in that person's possession, so they are Thor.
So then Beta Ray Bill is Thor, but then Thor is also Thor?
Well, then he came back, and then he was Thor again, but then also Beta Ray Bill had the power of Thor. He was Thor.
No.
So then the gal is Thor, but then who's Thor? While the gal is Thor.
Thor is always Thor. There's not another Thor. You have the power of Thor, which is a thing, and then you have Thor. But that's not what they're doing. They're saying the lady is Thor, but there's still Thor. Why can there be... Look, you can have the power of Thor. Power of Thor. Beta Ray Bill had the power of Thor.
There's been like 4 to 5 different Batman.
No, Bruce Wayne's Batman.
Yes, there is. No, he's not. There was a time where Dick Grayson was Batman. There was a time where Jean-Paul Valley was Batman. There was a time where Tim Drake was Batman.
Isn't there like 10 guys in the DC universe who were Robin at one time?
There's like 5 Robins.
Like
and then there's fucking Red Hood.
Red Hood was Robin.
Red Hood was Robin, then he died, then he came back, and he was Red Hood. But, yeah, Dick Grayson was Robin, Jason Todd was Robin, Tim Drake was Robin.
Aren't they all different people now?
Carrie Kelly was Robin, you had Stephanie Brown was Robin, and now Damian Wayne, Bruce Wayne's son, is Robin.
I thought he died.
He did, but he's back.
We're gonna need another Robin.
My whole problem is, there's Thor, who has always been Thor, and Beta Ray Bill had the power of Thor, but he wasn't Thor, and then there's this lady going as Thor, but that's not the same as, you know, a dude taking up the mantle of Captain America, because Captain America is a title, it's not necessarily just a dude. But you have a dude who's named Thor. He's always been Thor, he's had powers, he's not had powers, he's still been Thor, and then there's a lady that comes along, and then
Napier.
She is Thor.
Guys,
it don't make no sense.
Are like any of the Thors like gay?
There's like 1,000 Green Lanterns. So.
Are any of them gay?
Green Lanterns? Yes.
Green Lantern. Also, you know, that could be a title. You get your ring. You say the you
But
say
they
the
call you Green Lantern.
Yeah, they're all called fucking Green Lantern. Nobody gives a shit. They're not all called fucking Thor. There's not 40 goddamn Thors. There's one goddamn Thor, and now it has tits and a vagina.
They called that fucking frog Thor.
Yeah, because that was Thor. He was Thor. He might have not had the powers of Thor, but he was Thor.
See, now I understand
fucking Thor.
Ordering, like, less of issue 2. There's probably like a lot more people that pick up issue 1. Maybe some of them drop off. Maybe some of them just are in it to collect number 1s. But then like just order less of number 2. But you know, there's still going to be people that want number 2.
Order some number 2s. If you have to drop the title completely, drop it at like number 5 or 6. Order 1 or 2 at least for the shelf.
Right, just to see how it goes.
Maybe. Yeah, you don't have to order as many. Just order a couple.
Why don't you just order the fucking comic books that you like to be delivered to your house?
Well, because the post office is a bunch of pricks and they will not deliver them in nice condition.
No, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I did that once and had 2 fucked up comics come my way.
Yeah,
now
the board is flimsy in the mail.
Well, I mean,
board.
Like, most of them came fine, it's just 2 of them got fucked up, and it's kind of hard to replace those if your local comic book shop ain't stocking them nice and good.
I ship a lot of comic books, and I ship them very well. The distributor is not going to ship them as well as an independent seller does.
Which is a damn shame.
Yeah, they're going to throw them in a fucking manila envelope with a factory sealed bag and board, and that's as far as they give a shit.
Travis, do you have anything you want the people to know about, like a pick of the week?
Travis's pick of the week would be the newest season of House of Cards, which I just finished yesterday. It's an amazing insight into the political underworld that we are all party to.
I want to get into that one.
This season was particularly good. They've all been really good, but this season blew me away with how depraved and fucked up it is. I highly recommend House of Cards on Netflix.
Napier, like a pick, maybe a pick of the week.
Okay, this is what I like to do. I like to get on Netflix, and I like to watch my Flash, and I like to watch my shows. But when they do crossovers, it's bullshit because I'm watching Supergirl now because I finished Flash. And Supergirl has parts where it like interconnects with Flash, and I already know what's going to happen, so there's no goddamn tension. I fucking hate it when you fuckers do this. I really wish that all you fuckers that do the goddamn DC shows, if you're listening to this very tiny podcast, knock that fuck off.
DC, that's a Freudian slip.
That's my favorite part of those CW shows is when they cross over, and I do not watch Legends of Tomorrow or Supergirl, and I loved when they crossed over with them.
I think Legends of Tomorrow is canceled. I don't think they do that no more.
Oh, it's not canceled. There's a new season coming.
Really?
Napier.
Yeah, that's
that shit. Fuck, I wasn't going to get into it because they said it was canceled. No, it's not canceled.
Napier.
Yes.
Next week's show.
Yeah.
It's important.
Does that mean be there on time?
Just telling you.
It's a big one.
Come. It's going to be a big one. And I need you here.
Come with things to talk about. I will try to do the same so we can make it seem like this show is cohesive. And
has something going on this show, Napier. It's
right.
It's going to be a big one.
Next week could put us on the map.
Put us on the fucking map, Napier. And you know how we're not going to get on the map? I think you know. We don't need to say it.
Is it Skype?
You just said you don't need to say it.
We don't need to say it.
Okay, my pick of the week is the new season of Supernatural on Netflix. I like Supernatural.
My pick of the week is the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program, you guys. You should check it out. You should subscribe. Rate it 5 stars on iTunes.
Tell your friends.
Tell your friends.
Does anybody even do iTunes reviews anymore? Is that a thing?
We would like them to, Napier. We would like them to.
That's how you get to be on the main page of the podcast things.
Big show next week. Be sure to show up. Support your pals. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you around.
I love all of you, but that's my mama.
I'm indifferent.
No. I'm sad.
want you to know it's over.
Well, bye.
It's Napier. Join us live Monday nights at 9, 8 central on strangelabel.com. You can listen to back episodes at wfodix.com. Call in. Leave us a voicemail at 636-487-HAND. That's H-A-N-D. Interact with us on Twitter at WFODshow or facebook.com/WFODix. Email your comments to wfodshow@gmail.com. Special thanks to our Patreon sponsors, Brian Kranz, Liquid Lozenge, Harry Balls Anya, and Joni B. Come back next week. We'll do this again, probably.
Hey guys, Mike here. We have a Patreon now. I know. You've changed, Mike. Look, we're not going to make a thing about this. The show is happening whether you contribute money to it or not. But if you want to throw a buck or two at the dudes who make that thing you like, there it is. We're rewarding you, too, with 5-minute shows about whatever you want, shout-outs, stuff like that. Go to WFODix.com and find it in the Extras tab. Rate us 5 stars on iTunes, too. Fuck. I have changed.